From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of November 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Don Day will be here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to discuss the weather forecast with the United States. And then we'll take a look at the agricultural energies in depth with Dave Chatterton. He's at Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois. And along the way, we'll hear from USDA NASS agricultural statisticians from Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana, and get an update of the close of harvest in each of those three states on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today, four higher, finished at $4.20 and a quarter. The March at $4.26 and three quarters, up 2 and a half, and May at $4.29 and three quarters, a penny and a half higher. July corn up one, it finished at $4.30 and three quarters, and December of next year at $4.07 and a half, up a quarter of a cent. January beans up 16 and a quarter, at $11.69 and three quarters. March 11.68 and a half, up 14, and July soybeans at $11.59 and a half, 11 higher. November at $10.47 and a quarter, up 2. Bean oil 7 higher. The bean meal up $6.50. And the soft red winter wheat finished 2 and a quarter lower at $6.04 and a quarter. Live cattle futures in Chicago 90 cents higher at $111.32 and a half. Feeders were up a dime at $137.37 and a half. And lean hogs for the day at $65.52 and a half. They finished up 37 and a half cents. That for 100 pounds. Wayne Nelson is now here from L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Beans in the teens, Wayne. Beans in the teens, maybe?
Well, you know, it's a lot closer than we ever thought it would be just a few months ago. You know, as we look back here to the August crop report, and, you know, we're about a third higher if you take a look at things where we're at here now. So quite a deal. You know, our next goal now is $12. And it's not very far from 12 to 13 if you really get things running. And the one thing we have to look at, too, is most of the beans are out of the farmer's hands, so there's not any hedge pressure from farmers selling as this goes along. So, you know, it's hedge pressure that sort of holds this market down, and we aren't going to have a lot of that.
All right. November of 21, almost 10:50 now, as we close out the day. I'm wondering if there's a time at which you think producers might consider some early sales of that crop here.
Oh, I think that there can be some considered here. We've stuck our toe in and done, you know, maybe 5% or something here along the way just to start getting. But, you know, to look at over $10 beans just out of the field for your first sale, nothing really bad about that. You know, we feel that there's probably a little more oomph possible out here. You know, when we get to this level, we shot through and went through our 4-year high up back here, and you know, can we get onto that $12 mark, and you know, maybe end up another 30-40 cents while we sell another 5% of the new crop beans.
What pushed the market today? Was there anything new? I mean, we had NOPA yesterday. Was there something that fed the bull today?
Well, I think overnight we saw the when the foreign markets opened overnight, we saw some buying come in. The London Exchange, you know, the NOPA crush numbers, they were out yesterday, but they seem to be talked a lot this morning. We had the COVID vaccine news yesterday. That was a positive thing that way. You know, and even in fact, the Dow and the S&P set back a little bit today. But I think it's just the weekly export numbers were so much stronger than what they were expecting. And cumulatively, the inspections are exceeding the annual forecast pace. So, you know, I think that that is a good part of it, depending on which weather forecast you look at. But most everybody is still very, very, very concerned about South America and what they can do and the delays of early planting along that way. But we weren't surprised. We would talk that there should have possibly been some Chinese business done overnight, but it sure wasn't in the announcements today.
Yeah, so the further you get, the more likely they are to catch up and be done planting or get closer. Have they started to get there yet?
Oh, they're up to their normal rate or percentage for this point in time and coming along in that way. But we do continue to hear, you know, that they're dry in a lot of areas. It looks like some rain's coming in and coming back that way. So, but, you know, like I say, they have sold a lot of their beans, too, for this that's going in the ground that way, too. So there's a lot of those that were priced early because of the good prices.
Yeah, so about 70% of the way along, and you're telling me that is where they ought to be. So they've caught up from being behind, but still they have a lot of beans now in a really close space of time. They moved quickly, and they're caught up. But I suspect that that still will have an impact on corn, second crop corn there at some point, and the potential for it to be put into a dry weather situation because of the very seasonal outlook that they always have on their weather. So the later in the year it gets, the drier it gets.
Yeah, that is the big deal. It also gives us 2 to 3 more weeks of possibly before they have beans ready, because it was the early, and you know, they caught up as they do with the big equipment here too. Another thing we looked at, the CFTC report showed the smaller fund position than a lot of people thought. You know, this big increase didn't all come from just the funds. There was some other commercial buying and farmer buying along the way that's also raised this up. So the commercials aren't as much overbought is what you might think. So that's another thing that's making a little bit good.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Now, starting December the 1st, the Agricultural Economist and I will be hosting this year's Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Usually, we make a trip around the state. Of course, COVID-19 has put the kibosh on that. However, we will do 5 events. Rather than 5 events at 5 different sites, we're going to do 5 events on 5 different days. And rather than going all morning long, we'll just do 1 hour each, starting December the 1st. Now, these will be on Tuesday and Friday, and there'll be 5 of them in a row. So Tuesday, Friday, Tuesday, Friday, and Tuesday. If you want to get registered for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits, the other good news is they'll be free this year. So if you want to register today, you only have to do that once. You'll be signed up for all 5 topics. You can hear Gary Schnitke along with Scott Irwin and Jonathan Kappas, Nick Paulson, and of course, we'll hear from Bruce Sherrick, too, about the value of farmland. Should be a great series, Tuesdays and Fridays, starting December the 1st and wrapping up on December the 15th. Get yourself registered online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 95% of the corn crop around the nation has been harvested. USDA NAS is 87% the rolling 5-year average, so well ahead this year. Just like the soybeans, they're at 96% harvested. 93% is the rolling 5-year average. Quick look at the winter wheat crop says 96% of that is in the ground, and 94% is the 5-year average. 85% of it has emerged, 84% is the 5-year average in the condition of the crop, 41% good, and 5% excellent. And that's 1 percentage point better than last week, but down from the 41% good and 11% excellent from last year. Now, here are the statisticians with updates from Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota.
This is Melissa Couch, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. Above normal rainfall, snow in northwest Iowa, and cooler temperatures only allowed Iowa farmers 4.6 days suitable for field work during the week ending November 15, 2020, according to the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. Field work activities again included harvesting corn and soybeans, baling corn stalks, applying fertilizer and manure, and tillage. Topsoil moisture condition rated 13% very short, 29% short, 57% adequate, and 1% surplus. Subsoil moisture condition rated 21% very short, 34% short, 45% adequate, and 0% surplus. Only 3% of Iowa's corn for grain crop remains to be harvested, almost 4 weeks ahead of last year and just over 2 weeks ahead of the 5-year average. Statewide, the moisture content of field corn being harvested for grain remains at 15%. Farmers in northwest, north central, and west central Iowa have less than 1% of their corn for grain remaining to be harvested, while farmers in South Central Iowa still have 10% to be harvested. Only 1% of Iowa's soybean crop remains to be harvested. Over 2 weeks ahead of last year and 8 days ahead of average, only scattered fields are left to be harvested. Livestock producers continue to allow cattle to graze on corn stalks. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Precipitation returned to Illinois last week with a statewide average of more than 1 inch of rain. Northern parts of the prairie state generally got less than 1 inch of rain, while southern areas tended to get more than 1.5 inches. Temperatures ranged from 5 to 7 degrees above normal and averaged 48.3 degrees across Illinois. Soil temperatures ranged from the upper 40s in northern Illinois to the upper 50s in southern parts of the state. There were 5.1 days suitable for field work across Illinois, and topsoil moisture supplies were rated 10% very short, 21 short, 66 adequate, and 3% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 13% very short, 28 short, 58 adequate, and 1% surplus. 92% of the Illinois winter wheat crop has emerged compared to 82% last year and 85% for the five-year average. The condition of the Illinois wheat crop declined slightly to 10% very poor to poor, 24% fair, and 66% good to excellent. Pasture conditions were rated 34% very poor to poor, 23% fair, and 43% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending November 15, 2020. Minnesota corn harvest was nearly completed this past week despite widespread snowfall. There were 3.7 days suitable for field work, and activities included manure and fertilizer application, fall tillage, and harvesting corn for grain. Topsoil moisture condition rated 1% very short, 10% short, 82% adequate, and 7% surplus. Subsoil moisture condition rated 3% very short, 13% short, 79% adequate, and 5% surplus. Despite the snow events, corn harvests reached 97% complete, well ahead of last year and 2 weeks ahead of the five-year average. Corn moisture content of grain at harvest was 16%. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Corn Belt. By the way, those will finish up soon and we'll head into the winter season. You can always stay up to speed on what's happening here and around the planet if you'd like by visiting our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find information from the Agricultural Economist here on campus. You'll also find a way, of course, to get yourself registered for the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. And if you'd like, you can listen to our programming right there. Just click and play from willag.org or scroll to the bottom and pick out your favorite podcast application. Places like Stitcher and SoundCloud, NPR One, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast too. On this Tuesday afternoon, Don Day joins us to take a look at the weather forecast. What a beautiful day it is here, Don. How about where you are?
In many parts of the United States, it is really nice. In fact, we have a large part of the central and western areas of the United States under high pressure. And what is also developing this week is a west-to-east flow with a jet stream that's directing more of a Pacific air mass across the country instead of one coming out of western or central Canada. So that means milder air is working its way on in, and we're going to, for the most part, be able to enjoy these warmer temperatures here for the next several days.
Will they come with sunshine?
They will. We'll also have a little bit of precipitation to contend with, and this is going to be especially true over the weekend. If you're looking for sun, it's really going to be between today and Friday. As we get into the weekend, we will see a trough come in from the Pacific Northwest through the Rockies, and we'll see an area of rain break out across areas of Nebraska, Iowa, into northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin, and into the Great Lakes. The air with the system is not terribly cold, so I think the majority of it will be in the form of rain, at least initially. But we've got a good solid 3 or 4 days here, some beautiful November weather.
Anything in the tropics that you're watching that we need to worry about?
Well, it looks like with the most recent hurricane that just slammed into Nicaragua yesterday and last night, that at least in the near coastal areas of the U.S., whether it's the Gulf Coast or the southeastern United States, we do not see anything.
All right. Hey, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Now let's turn our attention to the agricultural energies. Dave Chatterton is here from Strategic Farm Marketing. Good afternoon to you, Dave. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with a broad perspective on energies across the planet as we look into the winter season. I know COVID's going to be of interest, maybe problematic, but what are the underpinning fundamentals that we have at this point?
Yeah, Todd, I mean, we're still looking at inventories that are pretty strong here. And as you mentioned, we kind of got this macro battle going on between a strong equity market and, I guess, optimism about the vaccine and maybe a return to normal sometime in 2021. But between now and then, we've got a surge in COVID cases here, and we continue to struggle. We've got U.S. refiners operating at some of the lowest levels that we've seen in decades here. If we look at inventories, the situation is actually improving, but I guess doing so with a caveat. I guess if we go back, you know, right now our commercial inventories of crude oil, gasoline, diesel fuel, and the products in the U.S., about 7% above the five-year average, and that's down from about 14% in July. But that's the good news. The bad news is if we keep falling at the rate we are, it would still take until probably the end of February, and that's without any additional COVID interruptions, to get back down to that five-year average. So the oil market has a little bit of an issue. We've got OPEC, some ministerial meetings this week, lining up for the key summit that they'll have on November 30th and December 1st, where they will announce their policy for the first of the year, the first 3 months of the year anyway. So we've got a lot of things going on here, but you know, fundamentally, the base for energy continues to remain a little bit weak here across the board.
What does that mean for ethanol through the winter months, do you think?
Well, I think it's going to continue to be a little bit of a struggle here. If we look at ethanol demand in general, we've been down, 6 to 9%, depending on how you want to measure it. Gasoline demand is actually off a little bit more than that in the U.S. We've continued to talk about a potential export outlet for ethanol, DDGs, particularly with China. We have not seen that come to fruition yet, not that it won't, but that would probably be the most bullish thing that we could hope for. In the meantime, we remain under a little bit of pressure here. We generally are seeing, ethanol values that have outpaced what we've seen from a gasoline perspective. The blending economics are a little bit poor. Margins at the plant level are, I would say, break even at best here in the near term, and certainly pencil in the red when you look at those forward margins. So it's going to continue to be a little bit of a struggle here as we see, that demand element. Luckily we've had a very strong export market and offtake in corn and good feed usage, but the ethanol component continues to lag just a little bit here.
So it's the feed, the DDG side of the co-products that really is making the ethanol plant work at this time.
Correct. I mean, were it not for these, pretty heady DDG values here, there would be some significant losses in the margins right now going forward. And again, I mean, we look at protein on a global level, and whether it's soybean meal or oil or some of the things going on here, we can get in a balance sheet situation, whether it's in the U.S. or globally, pretty tightly, pretty quickly. So that creates a little bit of hope, I think, and optimism looking down the road here. But specifically solving that's been a little bit elusive here to this point, Todd.
Okay, so I have some infrastructure-related questions, related to a discussion we had with Ben Brown from the Ohio State yesterday, talking about the potential, because the record bean meal or the soybean crush released by NOPA, the potential that the infrastructure for that is already at capacity, and that you could swap out at least domestically some DDGs for bean meal in feed rations and then be able to export the bean meal. However, it seems like one of the caveats in that might be something that happened in the spring, which is if we slow down use again for gasoline, we might actually fill the supply line up to the point that we can't put ethanol anyplace else. That happened last spring where we just didn't have a place to go with it. And then we saw all kinds of weird things happen related to the price of crude oil. So how does all the infrastructure handle this and try to make everybody happy at the same time?
Yeah, Todd, I mean, if you go back to the refining, I guess, 101 and kind of look at it historically, whether it's oil, whether it's bean crush, whatever, typically we're not going to, you know, a co-product isn't going to be the leader of what's going on here. I guess we can, you know, you can kind of what if this to death, if you will, about where we're going. And certainly that demand for bean meal, for bean oil is going to be there. We have, you know, as you mentioned, record domestic crush here in the U.S. We have record crush in China. We have what are going to be record exports here out of the U.S., assuming the USDA is correct. And, you know, all that adds up to a very tight situation where you can make the economics of switching and substituting oftentimes work. I don't think that those numbers on their face necessarily work today. And, you know, again, as you mentioned, gasoline demand here is going to be very important. We look at ethanol and ethanol stocks and where we're at. And, you know, with this rise in corn and what's gone on, it's the corn basis is very uncomfortable for processors right now. It continues to be a tough situation where I think we can get into that scenario where it's just not profitable to continue to put ethanol into storage and produce those products. Maybe the co-product can be the leader and be the savior here and keep the plant going, but I don't know what we do with the ethanol that we produce by that process.
One other thing before I let you go. Natural gas and propane, probably not needed for harvest anymore because that one's pretty much over, though there will be winter months and a lot of farm homes, other homes around the nation operate off propane. What do stocks look like, and have you been watching the price of both of those products?
Yeah, stocks look pretty good here, pretty healthy. I mean, propane in general is probably a little bit more eyed. You know, you look at that, we're at about 95 million barrels nationally right now. Both of the last 2 years, we've gotten a shade over 100 million. I think you go back to 2015 and 16, Todd, we got just over 104. The question is that enough to get us through the winter without any big hiccups? And with these forecasts, I guess, leaning a little bit on the warm side and the La Nina effect and things that are going on, I think it would be up to the export market to really put a dent in those inventories to the point where, you know, we have a big price increase. It's a similar situation in natural gas. Those prices remain, I guess, rather depressed and have been for some time. We've cycled from what were nearby highs above $3 in natural gas back at, even at the beginning of November to down to about $2.70 here currently. And just, you know, the lack of any real cold so far this winter has had a pretty adverse effect on things. So looking forward, we're, you know, without a strong indicator of economic recovery, particularly in the first quarter of 2021, we're pretty patient on booking, whether it's diesel fuel, propane, natural gas, any of those usage inputs, we're pretty much hand to mouth at this point. I mean, it doesn't hurt to have a little on the books here at some attractive levels, but we just don't see the upside, you know, potential at this particular point.
Hey, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And we'll talk with you on Thursday afternoon when we record Commodity Week. I'm looking forward to that too.
Yeah, very much so. I'll talk with you then, Todd. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That, of course, is Dave Chatterton. He is with Strategic Farm Marketing. Joined us here on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report.